I sit and watch the embers escape, propelled by hot air swirling upwards. They dance into the sky as the smoke moves steadily in one direction. My twin sister sits right in its way. "What's wrong with you?" I shake my head as she coughs. "Hey, smoke follows beauty, little sister." Or, you know, the wind, which in your case makes sense. "You want to talk. Are you sure we're related?" we say together. Laughing with the same smile, same eyes, but a mirror image. A small freckle above the eyebrow on my right and her left is how most people tell us apart. Mirror twins are rare. Opposite sides of a whole, Mum says, even in our personalities. Lainey is outgoing, sporty and popular. I am not. "What are you two fighting about now?" Nan comes shuffling out of the dark, a big jewfish in one hand and a massive ceratodus in the other. I hop up to go help, but she shoos me away, tossing them to the ground. I stare in fascination at the ceratodus. Salmon, the old people call it. As old as we are in this country, they reckon. White fellas said they were prehistoric dinosaurs or something. Made sense to us. Sometimes people call them lungfish, because that's what they had. Sitting by the river at night, you'd hear them surface to gasp in air. Nan had already whacked these ones on the head, otherwise that salmon would be gasping now. "You're gonna just look at it, or you want to eat it?" "Sorry, Nan," I smile at her as she comes over with her cleaning gear. An old knife, some newspaper, an alfoil. I stay close, watching every move she makes, while Lainey sits to the side acting like a big dainty thing with her "ew this" and "yuck that." Nan looks at me and we both roll our eyes. "Anyone would think you weren't black. Call yourself my granddaughter," she mumbles in her rough smoker's voice. "In my day, you'd figure out how to clean it or you'd starve." Cleaning it is gross, I agree. But I'll take this over going into the shops and getting that boxed frozen fish rubbish any day. I lean too close and Nan growls at me for getting in her light while she's working. She always smells like imperial leather soap, white ox tobacco and talcum powder. Mum said the only thing that had changed since she was a kid is the brands. It sounds like it should smell bad, but it never does. It smells like home. "Nan, when are you going to let me do that?"
"When I'm sure you can do it proper way."
"But how will you know if you never let me?" she snorts.
"I'll know before you."
Fish wrapped, she takes a stick and digs out some coals, placing her parcels in and covering them. Stretching her back out, she lets out a big groan, then settles down onto one of the blankets we laid out by the fire. Nan always keeps blankets in her car, those old scratchy hospital ones. "Clean up them guts, granddaughters, and make your Nan a cuppa." I go for the guts while Lainey does the tea. We already had the billy on, so it would be ready for Nan. When I get back to the fire, Lainey has hopped onto one blanket, wrapping a second one tight around her. She lifts one side for me and I climb in, cuddling close. We sit in silence, watching the flames.
"Nights like this remind me of your great-grandmother's old humpy by the river," Nan says, smiling into her tea.
She reaches into a massive bag that she dares call a purse, pulling out her rollies and getting a pre-prepared one that she dips into the embers till she has a nice cherry on it. She takes one deep drag, puffing smoke into the flames and watching it curl upward. Fear-tinged excitement rattles my heart to life. I know what's coming next. Lainey and I cling closer, clasping each other's hands tight as we wait.
"He used to tell me the best stories, my old dad. Knew a lot of things."
Nan's gaze is lost in the fire and her memories. "Couldn't teach us much. Not language, for sure. That old protector fellow would have taken us. But he told us what we needed to be safe." Sadness flows out of her then, mingling with the dirt and ash and painting the earth in pain. Another big draw, more smoke. "Never say their names at night, daughters, or you'll call them to you. Don't whistle, don't draw in the dirt, don't sweep the ground neither. Not in the night or they'll come. These fellas here, look." She holds her hand up, palm facing out, and does that claw-clenching move that we all know and are scared of, even adults. Drag, puff.
If you're walking at night and you feel something behind you, don't look back. Don't run. Sing if you have to. Drag. Puff. Stay out of them caves at night. And if you go in them in the day, don't never take nothing from there. If you kick a stone loose, put it back. Drag. Puff. Keep your feet covered at night, or you might find something tickling them. Them things like children best, and they'll take you if they can. Then they'll take you and we never see you again. They never give back what they took. We knew these things because Nan made sure we knew them. She still told us every time we were out by the fire like this. It was our way. Have you ever seen one, Nan? Lainey asks. Well now, she says, turning to look at us. The firelight moves strangely on her crinkled skin, making her beloved face look spooky. Sure you want to hear them stories? You're not sleeping with me tonight. Her warnings are always the same, but she lets us sleep with her anyway. Yeah, please, Nan, we say together. Good, she says, nodding in approval and looking back into the fire. Because you'll need these stories one day, granddaughters. She looks lost for a minute while Lainey and I sit, waiting to have the shit scared out of us. From somewhere behind her, I see a flicker in the dark, like when a wallaby jumps between trees, moving fast. A brief flash of red dances and I frown at it, trying to see. Probably light in the wallaby's eyes, but it looked too small for that. Turning to ask Lainey, I have a second to register the glint of gold and a strange pendant around her neck before clawed, furred hands wrap around her throat. We both gasp as it pulls her backwards out of the firelight. Lainey! I spin to Nan, expecting her to move, but she's still looking into the flames. Nan! She finally turns to look at me with shining red pupils. Stumbling, I feel hands grab hold of my shoulders. Be ready, granddaughter, she whispers, as I'm ripped back, screaming into the dark.